You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And because it is Tuesday, we're going to wrap things up with a look at property this week. We're going to be taking a look at some interesting developments that have come out from the property space. There has been an amendment that has been signed through by the president around the deeds amendment bill that's been signed, aimed at improving the state of the deeds registry, the deeds office, and generally what that means for consumers. That's what we're going to take a look at now. I'm joined on the line by economist and contributor Dr. Roelof Botha to take a look at this. He's joining us from Better Bond to take a look at this and see if we can better understand this. Dr. Botha, lovely to catch up with you. Thanks for taking the time. Let's start by understanding, what are we amending here? What amendment did the president sign?
Well, it's the deeds registration regulations, and it has been received with a lot of gusto by the residential property market in particular, because there are more houses that are sold than obviously industrial properties in South Africa.
Mm. Dr. Botha, do we know what the specific changes are that have been kind of announced or that were put forward in the amendment?
Jimmy, I haven't actually looked at all the detail from a legal perspective. I'm a macroeconomist, as you probably know, but I have looked at the reaction from the legal profession and also from the property industry in general, especially estate agents, bond originators like Better Bond.
Mm.
And the overwhelming response is that, number one, this will highly likely lead to less fraud and corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, and this is very important from an economic perspective, it will fast track the process. And in economics, if you can fast track a process, just to give you one example, you've probably seen the results of the latest AFRIMAT construction index as well, which is quarter on quarter not so bad, but year on year still down. And one of the main reasons for that is the criminality at construction sites. We're talking 63 billion rand worth of projects, many of them infrastructure related, which just cannot get off the ground. And now there's this so-called Durban Declaration, which aims to halt the construction mafia. And the sooner this money can flow, the sooner you have job creation and the sooner you have a broadening of the tax base. So quite frankly, from a residential property market perspective, especially because of this ridiculously high interest rates we have in South Africa, this is such a positive development. It's almost like a Christmas present to the property market, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm. Dr. Botha, part of the adjustments, from what I can gather, is things around digitizing records. And obviously, that is an important thing in, one, dealing with the corruption side of it, but two, also just keeping a more accurate record of things. We've seen in the past there have been things around property disputes, you're not the registered owner of this, especially in the residential space. Do you think that digitizing these sorts of records then provides more transparency and accountability, I suppose, for those that are engaging in property transactions? Understanding, of course, that we also have a market in the residential space for international people coming to own property here.
Yes, I believe it will, without a shadow of doubt. You can never you can't get rid of the human element in any of these transactions, but by reducing the propensity for human errors and also human criminality in forging documents or falsifying documents, it will certainly assist. And it could also even play a role indirectly to get us back off the grey list, back on the black list. I don't know exactly what the alternative is, but if the international economic community in general and the banks also, they should be notified, that they should be kept in a loop about regulations which are aimed at fast-tracking decision-making in our economy and also streamlining the process. There are just too many regulations in South Africa. And I mean, I don't have to tell you what it's like in some of these municipalities with the slowness by which, for instance, building plans get past inspectors that have to go and do inspections at building premises, and then they just don't pitch up and so on. So who knows? It does seem as if since the government of national unity came into being in South Africa, just a host of indicators are improving. If you just look at the Better Bond Index of home loan applications, that's up quarter on quarter by 11%. That is fantastic news.
Dr. Butter, when we look at the economic impact, you touched on this a little earlier to say that the property space and the construction space, there's different aspects to the infrastructure property and that world. But from a retail property perspective, I mean, it's always nice to be able to say that we do have an interest in these properties. But economically speaking, I mean, having properties that are attractive, having legislation and having structures in place that make South Africa an attractive investment destination, whether it's for local or international investors, doesn't really matter there. The attractiveness economically has that ripple effect on other areas, right? So even if we're looking at property in isolation, it'll have an effect on jobs, the jobs required to maintain those properties and those sorts of things. The economic impact can't be overlooked here, especially when we're looking at the property space.
I agree with you, Jimmy. It's hard to disagree with you, quite frankly. But if you can fast track economic decisions, it stands to reason that the money flows quicker, and the money of, you know, the bulk of the money ultimately goes to salaries and wages, value added. The bulk of value added is salaries and wages, and that money gets spent. It can only have a beneficial impact on our economy. If you look at the total value of, I just must slip this in, the total value of outstanding household credit in South Africa, we're talking about a figure of more than 2.1 trillion rand. Unfortunately, that figure is lower in real terms than it was 10 years ago, thanks to the restrictive monetary policy in this country ever since John Marcus retired. But 85% approximately of that figure of 2.1 trillion rand is mortgage bonds. Mm. Now, of course, mortgage bonds get used for other purposes than buying property. But still, it is hugely significant for property development in South Africa. And the construction sector will obviously benefit from this as well. Now, construction, not agriculture, that's number two. Construction is the single largest employment multiplier in this economy. And this is such a nice opportunity for government to focus on property development, to try to, as far as I'm concerned, change the composition of the Monetary Policy Committee to allow people from the private sector and from National Treasury and trade and industry to also participate. I'm talking about organizations and in the private sector that probably would like the economy to grow faster, and for that we require lower interest rates. So there's just such a lot happening right now. And by the way, this suggestion of mine, I'm going to take this forward.
Dr. Buerta, so you said something quite important around the development side of it and around infrastructure investments. We've heard the infrastructure drive that's been going on and the talk that's where we need to be focusing on. What would you say is holding things back? You touched on something around red tape. Do you think that in the context of infrastructure development is what's holding back us sparking real economic growth?
Yes, to a large extent. And then let's call a spade a spade. The municipalities are a vexed problem. Apart from the debt owed to Eskom, we're talking about the state of municipal decision-making in fixing, repairing infrastructure in South Africa. There have been appointments in the last decade under the state. We are still counting the cost of state capture. Under the guise of cadre deployment, you've had some appointments there of people who are not necessarily qualified to do that work. And Stellenbosch University has just come out with a brilliant paper on how to fix the municipalities. And it's a little bit academic, but I agree with more or less everything said in there. What we need now is to take that document further and have a plan of action and identify a particular municipality that's dysfunctional. And there's one not far from where I stay here in Brits. Just between Gauteng and Northwest. And it is such a fantastic area because they've got agriculture, mining, manufacturing, Firestone. They've got major packaging industries there, etc. And that town area could be, they've got a huge tax base, can be transformed if you just have the right skills. and a plan of action, just like Mr. Schreiber did, Dr. Schreiber, at Home Affairs. So there are signs that the new government of national unity, if this can also just be carried forward into local government, we can go places from a low base. We're probably looking at a possibility of 5% growth in 2026. Not next year. We'll build the bridge towards that.
Just get implementation right. There's so much potential out there. I think we'll leave the conversation there, Dr. Botha. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Dr. Roelof Botha joining me to take a look at the latest amendment signed by the presidency, but also the catalyst that can be found in infrastructure development and property growth.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.